Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are here to answer your listener questions. You send them in. We do the best we can to answer them, including a great question today from Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Stephanie asks, now this is a good one. We can all give feedback on this. They're going on their honeymoon to Walt Disney World. Should they do a Shades of Green stay with one night at the Polynesian or stay the entire time at a moderate resort? What would you do? Stand by for our thoughts on that and more. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm getting excited. We're down to 52 days to go until we head down to Walt Disney World for the Toy Story and 4th of July holidays. We've turned this into a triple split stay trip. We're staying at Coronado. We're staying at Yacht Club, and we've added a couple nights at Port Orleans Riverside, my favorite. So we're going to have a great time. But every time I get a call, place a text, or post to social media, I see how many days I have to go with great pictures. I get audio cues every day at 2:05. It's awesome. You can do the same. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who is supporting the podcast by using our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. This is truly the easiest way to support the podcast. It costs you nothing extra. You get your Prime benefits. Easy peasy. So the next time you do that online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1326 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at The Magic for Less. Happy Wednesday to you, and hope you're having a great week. The weather has been awesome here in the Midwest. Hope it's been for you as well. Things are great here as we record this on our typical Monday evening, coming off a sweep of the Chicago Cubs. Boy, life is good. It's 80 and sunny, and the Cubs lost 3 in a row. We've won 3 in a row. Boom. I'm happy. So sorry, Cubs fans. We'll meet you again up in Wrigley later in the year. So we're going to be answering your listener questions, but I'm in a good mood, and that's why. So joining me today, she has just come off a great event down in Atlanta. We have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Wednesday, Ricky.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah, I did. I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who came up to me and said hello at the event that happened, the Unbuilt Disney with Len Testa here in Atlanta. It was so great to meet some of you guys. So thank you to everyone who said hello. And a big thank you to Holly, who made the ears that I'm wearing today that you guys can see if you're watching. But if you're just listening, then you can't see them. But they are adorable. I love them so much. So thank you.
They are really cute.
Yeah.
So are they, the debate is though, are they millennial pink? Because they're not official millennial pink ears, but they're that color, right? I mean, you think they're a millennial? Are you a millennial?
They are not official millennial pink ears, no, correct. But they are the millennial pink color. So they're adorable, and they are coming with me to my Walt Disney World vacation this summer. So I'm so excited.
Oh, breaking news too. Magical Mouse Radio now back on TuneIn, guys. So you can use your Amazon Alexa and your Google Home. Just yell at it and tell it to play Magical Mouse Radio. Boom. Right there, you got Disney music playing. Awesome. I did it the other day. Here's the trick. If you have an Amazon Alexa, we have 4 dots in our house now. They're like growing like weeds. I have them all over the place. If you tell your Amazon Alexa to play Magical Mouse Radio everywhere, boom, the whole house is playing it. Pam's like, what?
So she was in the bed. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I totally did. And Mallory's like, Alexa, stop. Anyway, so yeah, I shouldn't say that word, so I'll stop. All right, joining us also, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Before I get us in any more trouble, Pam Forrester. Pam, how's it going?
It's going great. I was just talking with Alexa about ordering us new filters for the refrigerator, you know, the water filter for the refrigerator. I was like, Alexa, order that. And then she told me how much it was. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, have those gone up in price? But she didn't answer back about that.
No, she did not.
She didn't have any opinion on the price.
She did not, no.
She doesn't care because she's getting a cut, I think.
Right, yeah. She just put it in my cart and I ordered it. I mean, what can you do? You need filter.
Exactly.
Now you want
this. They make these products and they know you're going to need them every however many months. You know, you need a new filter. And then what else can you do at that point? Drink poison water, I guess?
Yes, that's it.
drink it out of the tap like us commoners here in Florissant, Missouri. Boy, I'm just saying.
Bring me my filtered water.
Florissant had the best tasting water there for a very long time. I'm not going to lie. They did something to it. Yeah.
Until the rumor was when I was a kid, we had to have bottled water for like a week and a half because the big water tank by Fritz's, they thought there was a dead guy in there.
Oh, well, yeah. That's awesome.
That was the rumor. I was like in sixth grade.
Tastes a little weird.
Yeah, I'm saying. You know, it was sixth grade. It was a rumor. You know, I bought into it.
Yeah, that seems like a sixth grade rumor to me.
Anyway, let's get to the listener question. Stephanie's leading us off here. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm 35 miles from Pam, 632 from Mike, 732 from Ricky.
35 miles?
She's in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness. That's where Han went to college.
There you go.
I love the name of that city, Slippery Rock. That's where Matt Adams is from the Nationals, too. I love, love, love the planning process of Disney trips coming up, and I have a couple questions. Number one, I have a girls' trip to the world coming up over Memorial Day weekend this year. We are flying that Saturday and have some time to spare before our ADR at the Edison that evening. We are thinking about resort hopping, but what ones should we definitely put on our list? We're staying at Art of Animation, and we have mostly only stayed at Value Resorts on other trips, so we're wondering which resorts are a must-see. Okay, so that's for this girls' trip coming up here in a couple weeks. Only really stayed at the Values. Pam, what would you say? Let's each give one must-see. Okay, so give one.
So I'm going to say you've got to stop and see. You have to stop and see. Oh, man, there's too many.
I know, you only
have
one.
To stop and see. I'm going to give them all. No. You have to stop and see the Polynesian. It's one of the original resorts. It is so over-the-top themed. There's just something about it. Plus, hello, when you stop there, you need to stop at Trader Sam's. So, I mean, it's a stop with a purpose. I mean, a double purpose. So make sure you do that. Go out and go out onto the beach. Do a little swinging in those little chairs that are out there on the beach. Those are fun. And it's just a fun and soothing resort. Fun to walk through. And great shopping there, too.
All right, Ricky, we've got the Polynesian covered. Where are you going?
Well, I'm going with what seems to be the popular answer in chat, and I was going with it before I saw it in the chat. So, Animal Kingdom Lodge was going to be my answer. Obviously, because you've got all the animals there, I mean, besides being in Animal Kingdom, where are you going to see these animals? Or the zoo, you know, for a lot of them, where are you going to see these animals? Just walking around, especially walking around freely like that. So, definitely go to Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think it's obviously off the beaten path, which makes it a little bit of a knock, but I think that the experience you're going to have is well worth the visit to the outside of the world, basically, it feels like.
It's awesome over there. That's a good place to go. I mean, really, you could stay there for a long time. And I got to throw this in. Eric is throwing this in the chat, going back to Slippery Rock. He says Pennsylvania has some great names: Bird in Hand, Intercourse, and Noodle Doozy. That's a city in Pennsylvania.
I didn't know about Noodle Doozy. I did know about Intercourse and Bird in Hand.
So. I know they do a race in Bird in Hand because I've seen that race advertised from some of our runners. But yeah, I mean the Noodle Doozy sounds like something you get at Dairy Queen, like on a hot summer night.
I love it. Yes.
Anyway,
I'm always going to be Noodle Doozy.
Exactly. I might get one after my Taco Bell tonight. Who knows? So anyway, my answer would be Wilderness Lodge, just for the fact that you're next to the Magic Kingdom. You can take a boat over there if you're going to the Magic Kingdom. I'm not sure, you didn't say if you're going to the parks, but it's got an awesome lobby. It's got a lot of cool places to just chill on the inside. But go to Geyser Point, get a drink, get a snack. They have a really good fried chicken sandwich there. I had it twice this last trip. So there you go. All right. So they got three of them for you. So pick it out, Stephanie. Her second question is, my fiance and I are planning our Disney moon, 4 days at the parks, followed by a 3-night Disney cruise. Which we'll talk about a 3-night Disney cruise here in just a minute. Next January after our December wedding. I've never gotten so many emails. Anyway, we normally stay at Shades of Green when we take our trips, but we want to make this one special since it's our honeymoon. Would it be better to add 1-night stay at the Polynesian and then head to Shades of Green, which is a good value, or find a moderate resort for the bulk of our stay? We've never done a split stay before, so this would be a new concept. Thanks for all you guys do to add Disney to my commute and work day. Stephanie in Slippery Rock. Okay, so basically her situation is, do you do a split with Shades of Green and the Polynesian for 1 night, or do you kind of go down the middle and go moderate for the entire stay? Ricky, what would your best advice be for that?
Oh, I mean, so I actually saw Shades of Green. I had never been over there, but I think it was for Marathon Weekend. The bus actually took us over that, like actually to Shades of Green. I forget why. But anyway, I think that that's a really interesting resort over there. So, and if you have the opportunity to stay there, I think I would choose that one, the Polynesian and Shades of Green. I know that you don't get some of the same Disney stuff, but it's such a unique thing that not a lot of people get to go to. That's why I chose it. So
that's one of those things that's really tough for me. I've heard great things about it. Joe Laszlo in our chat is saying that he loves it over there. It's a really nice resort. But again, only certain folks have had that experience. And I appreciate that. I mean, I like that. So I've heard it's very, very nice, though. And the Polynesian is just, I mean, it's the Polynesian. It just oozes Walt Disney World. That's what Walt Disney World is. So I would agree with you. I'd probably do that as well and have that Polynesian as your last night to look forward to the entire stay. Pam, what do you say in this situation?
So I'm going to say something different. And the reason is that so many of the folks who can stay at Shades of Green can also qualify for the military rates. Not everyone, because they do offer rates to some folks that are not military personnel. But there's a great military discount at Walt Disney World. I mean, there are savings up to 40% on the rooms, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And I would at least compare those with the rates offered. I think there's really something about staying at a Disney resort. Even though the Shades of Green is on property, it still does not have access to a number of the best benefits that most of the Walt Disney World resorts have. So that's just something to consider. But do, you know, stop by, see if those rates, you know, really how they compete. Because typically we find that the rates at the moderates compare less than a Shades of Green stay. And then you're actually staying at one of the Walt Disney World resorts. And there's a lot of benefits to do that. The other issue is, I think she was talking about staying at the Polynesian and then going to Shades of Green. I think that's a challenge for a couple of reasons. Is it the other way around?
Well, that's what I'd say do the Polynesian last. Is what I would say, right?
That's what I was going to say, too, because let me tell you, I've made the mistake of staying, let's say, like at a moderate or at a deluxe and then going down to a moderate for like my last couple nights. That's a hard, hard transition to make. It makes you be like a little more homesick, like a little more homesick for your first resort and a little more sad that your vacation's coming to an end. So,
yeah, you know, I'm kind of in that boat, you know, and this is kind of for my July trip. We're going down. We were going to do a split with Coronado Springs for 4 nights and Yacht Club for 4 nights. So we could be down there for the Toy Story opening and also be there for the 4th of July and a couple days after. That's usually when we go for the summer. But then my wife found out that one of her friend's daughters are performing at ESPN on July 11th. So she's like, well, I kind of wanted to see them. Can we change our dates? I'm like, well, we can add on days. You know, we're going to change dates, so we can do another stay. So I added on Riverside. So I'm going to be going Coronado, Yacht Club, Riverside, which again, you're going from a deluxe to a moderate, but Riverside's my favorite. I love that resort. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal for me, but it is kind of, I mean, you know, it's give and take. We're going to have a nice food court at Riverside, which you don't have at Yacht Club. We're not going to have Storm Along Bay, but, you know, Old Man Island is a good pool. We can go to, you know, we can focus more on Disney Springs when we're at Riverside rather than, you know, Epcot Studios at Yacht Club. I think you just got to kind of take what you're given with your resort that you choose, right, Pam? I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages. You even go from a deluxe to a moderate. You know, if you plan your touring right and the goals of that portion of the trip, you're going to be all right. So that's kind of what I'm doing. Like, we'll do Disney Springs towards the end of the trip.
We tailor our vacation really to the resort that we're staying at more than any other factor that we do. We find that especially if we're staying at, let's say, a deluxe resort that has a pool that we really enjoy, we're making sure that we have time spent. I mean, I dedicate time to it. It's not just like a little general, oh, we'll come back to the resort that afternoon. Because let me tell you, that gets thrown out the window very often. We dedicate time. We put it in the schedule. Mike's seen my itinerary for the summer. It's there.
It's awesome.
I make the people who are traveling with me do it too. I'm like, everyone needs a break. Everyone's going swimming.
I'm all in. My Apple Watch is waterproof now, so I'll be swimming like a champ. Trying to get some rings. All right. So Rhonda Lee's got a question in our chat here. So let's go to this one live. My sister and I, who maybe has a question too, I don't know, are trying to plan. I don't know. Who knows? My sister and I are trying to plan a vacation with our families. We're thinking of a cruise. Please help me convince her to consider a Disney cruise rather than another cruise line. Her children will be 13 and 15 at the time of the cruise. All right, Pam. So this is kind of right up your alley. So, and you got a cruise ship right over your right shoulder as we speak.
No, right? It's a beaut. So I will say there's really something about a Disney Cruise Line cruise. I've had the opportunity to sail on many lines, and I truly like them all for different reasons. But I will tell you what Disney kind of gives us to remind guests of, and those are the Disney differences. And there certainly are a Disney difference. First of all, you step on that ship, and the first moment you were there, that atrium is like, boom, you are on vacation. It's beautiful, it's elegant, but it's still friendly for the whole family. And I think that's the thing that sets apart a Disney cruise in a way that sometimes other cruise lines don't address. There really is something for everybody. It's the perfect multi-generational and large group vacation. You've got Broadway shows, you've got luxury dining, you've got kids clubs, you have first run movies being shown, you have aqueducts, you have beautiful ports of call. I mean, there really is something for every person. So you can take advantage of that. I will also say that Disney Cruise Line, although it is a cruise where families with children of all ages can feel comfortable, they do the separation between kids areas and adults areas better than most other cruise lines. What that means is if you're an adult and you want some time away from children, that whether they're yours or other children on the cruise line, you have the Cove Cafe where you can get a coffee. You have the adult only swimming area. You have the spa. You have on some of the newer ships, a whole Satellite Falls area where you can go. That's not only for adults, but I'm just telling you, there's a lot of adult only spaces. You have adult only dining. Who is the person that needs convinced? You could just have them give me a call and I will give them about 100 reasons why they need to consider a Disney Cruise Line cruise. Yes. But yeah, there's just something about a Disney Cruise Line cruise.
Yep. That's it. Pam at BRGuestPodcast.com. Let her know. We'll work on her. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com too. We'll fix her up. That's what we do.
And shipboard credit. Ask us about our shipboard credit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll pay for your Palo brunch in most cases, so no worries. All right, Valerie's got a question here. Ricky, this one will be good one for you. Touring Plans has both Jingle Bell Jingle.
Bam!
Thank you. And Star Wars fireworks on the same night at Hollywood Studios. How does that work for dessert parties? Would there be two separate parties, or do they just have one? I don't know. Do you?
I actually don't.
I guess they would 100%. Have two different areas. Disney's not going to give you two parties for the price of one. Get real, Valerie. Come on
right,
now.
Right. I don't 100% know the answer. However, I will say, I think that during the holiday parties, if I remember right, they really only had the one. I think they only had the Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam one. So, yeah. And technically, I know Touring Plans has it scheduled right now. It's based off of what happened last year. The schedule, I don't think, is officially 100% set in stone yet for the holidays. Actually, we don't even know officially if Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is coming back, although it should be. So, you know, stay tuned. That things may change. It's a little fluid right now. It's still very early. So, you know, make sure stay tuned. I'll definitely be writing about it everywhere. So whether you read Touring Plans or the Mouse for Less, it's going to be somewhere. You know, you just know that I think that they only do one dessert party though. So
I think you're right too. I think I was really shocked actually last year when Disney decided to not only have the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam fireworks, but also the Star Wars.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. I mean, really, Disney doesn't get enough credit for when they do things like that. They only, all they get is criticism when they take something away. There was no like parade or petition that was like, yeah, Disney, like only go to one fireworks show because I can't choose between them. They should have at least gotten a pat on the back for that. But anyways, I'll give it to you, Disney.
That's true.
I'll give you.
There you go.
We love you, Disney.
There you go. I like it.
You know what? Let's dedicate this podcast to Disney's good decisions. That's what we're going to do.
Boom.
1326.
Yes. Sometimes they make them.
That's
correct.
It. All right.
So yeah, it's just a little too early to officially say, you know, kind of what's going on.
Well, Joe has the perfect comment in the chat. Did you see Joe? He says, you know, we're talking about Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam in May, and he doesn't have any idea what he's having for dinner in 30 minutes.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. So, all right, let's see here. We got one from Diana. She's in West Bend, Wisconsin, 587 miles from Pam. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I've been listening to the show for about a year and a half. I've gotten so many magical tips from you all, and you are a hoot to listen to. I thought it was going to see, I saw H-O-O-T, and I thought she was saying hot, but it's hoot.
No, stop. You're killing me.
You know what? It's going to be 90 this weekend here in St. Louis. That's way too hot. All right.
We thought we were done, Ricky, yeah. But then he pulls us back in.
I just want to smack him.
My husband and I have made two magical trips to the world with our four kids recently, but this month he wants to treat me with a trip to Flower and Garden Festival, May 17th Aww. Through the 20th. Just Yay. The two
it's
of
good
us.
Good hubby.
We can make it. No, she put just the two of us, so there you go. I had to sing. We're taking advantage of the great deals at Caribbean Beach, and since it's a short trip, we want to maximize our last day there by taking a 10:20 p.m. flight home out of MCO. To maximize our time, we plan to take an Uber to the airport. My questions are, one, how busy is MCO TSA at 8:30 to 9 p.m. on a Sunday night? That's a very specific question. Okay, so Pam, you probably have the most experience working with TSA. So on Sunday night, what will that be? On Sunday night, May 20th, between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, what's that line going to look like at TSA to Orlando International?
It should not be bad, but the second I say that, it'll be right. Like some big conference is going home that night, and it blocks up TSA for whatever. I will say we are TSA pre-check, and once I get to the airport, I like completely zone out. Yeah. I'm like irritated that I have to go home. I'm sure I'm nasty to whoever I'm traveling with. I'm just like,
let's just ask
pushing you. My stupid suitcase along. I probably have another bag that's overloaded with crap I shouldn't have bought anyway. And I just am like focused on getting to that TSA pre-check line, getting through. Getting irritated at anyone in front of me who doesn't know what they're doing in my gate.
I just go through the regular Joe Schmo line, and it's the saddest right? line ever. That line out of MCO is just, it's depressing. It's like, I don't want to take, you know what? And the last time I went through with my belt on, I thought I was going to get tased. They let me through. Like I realized I got through and I was like, my belt's still on. I was getting ready to, I was like tensing up. I was like, they're going to tase me, but they didn't do anything. They just said, just go
don't
ahead.
Tase me.
I was like, don't tase me, bro. Anyway, second question is, if we catch an Uber from one of the parks, is it practical to have the driver swing back to our hotel to grab our bags? How fast is the procedure to pick up the bags stored at the concierge desk? She says, I'm an Uber novice, and this was our first time not renting a car. Thanks for your help. I appreciate your great information and fun banter, Diana. So I will say, I took an Uber this last time to the airport because I had a tight connection or flight there because I ran the half marathon and had like a 1 o'clock flight. Little did I know my flight would be delayed like 3 hours. So I applied to hang at the airport all day, which kind of stunk. But I got to the airport, no kidding, in 37 minutes from the Wilderness Lodge. That dude was cooking. I couldn't nice. Believe it. Like that, because, you know, it's 4 hours now for Magical Express on the way home. So that saved me a lot of time, which I didn't end up needing. But as far as having your Uber swing by your hotel, I mean, I'm sure that what you would have to do probably is two separate Uber trips. Uber trip from the park to your resort, yeah. And then when you get to your resort, fire up another Uber to get to the airport. Now, picking up your bags at the concierge desk at your hotel is going to vary. I mean, that's a crapshoot because it just depends how many people are there. If you're the only one walking up, boom, they can get them probably in 5 minutes. It won't be a big deal. But sometimes they're short-staffed and, you know, there's six or seven people trying to do the same. Pam, do you have that kind of same experience? I mean, it's really a crapshoot with how fast you get your bags.
It really, really is. It really is. The thing I may consider doing is, okay, two things. I have two ideas for you. The wheels are turning here. I'm working. So consider if you have bags that aren't too big, taking them with you. Now you're only going to be taking your carry-on because you're, of course, using your resort online tech and desk, right? Because that is one of the best benefits of staying at a Walt Disney World Resort.
It is
so
amazing.
If you can check all your bags except for just a couple of smaller bags, go ahead and take those with you to the park. Rent a locker for the day, put them in there. I think that it will be worth the time that you're going to save. The other thing that you could do is if you're going to, say, the Magic Kingdom that day, why don't you consider checking your bell at one of the bell or your bag at one of the bell services at like the Contemporary and then picking it up there, then taking the Uber from, because the Contemporary is just a walk from the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Then taking an Uber from the Contemporary to the airport.
That's a good plan too. Look at those. So remember to
tip. I know, right? Remember to tip your bell person. I always say this. Anyone who touches my bag gets a tip. Period. I don't care who it is. I mean, unless they're trying to take it.
I'm saying this summer I'll be touching your bag all day. I'll be like, touch, touch, $5. $5.
No, it's true. So just remember that, because I know that's a shock to some folks, the tipping issue.
Speaking of bags and parks, and we're not going to talk about this today, but did you see the story about the girl that was trying to get the bag into Disneyland that had inappropriate stuff on it? Seriously, yes. Get real. Girl.
Yes.
I saw
totally
that.
Did not see the story.
Just look on Twitter.
Don't worry, you missed it. Also, it looked like clip art. Like, seriously, what just did saying. You do with this bag? Just, like, this was totally a homemade bag, obviously.
That fired me up terrible. Like nobody's business. I know there's freedom of speech, but come on. Common sense prevails. Anyway, before I get fired
I'll
up.
I'll tell you about it later, Pam. Yes, don't worry, I'll
social
send you a
media.
Picture.
Just look at,
it's like the pregnant lady who got the story about her because she was 26 weeks pregnant and couldn't get on the ship. It's like, those are the rules.
Right. Yes, yeah. This is the same deal. Yes.
You can't get a special dispensation from your doctor or the Pope. You have to go with the cruise liner.
Dang it, I was going to go with the Pope. Oh,
sorry. He has no power on the Disney Cruise Line ship.
All right, let's get to Justin's question here live in the chat. We appreciate you guys. You remember, you can always tune in live with us on Facebook around 5:30 Eastern on Monday nights. We try to keep it pretty consistent. He says, we're going to the Plaza Garden Viewing Fireworks Dessert Party next Wednesday. We are doing Plaza for lunch at noon and are worried about only having desserts for dinner. Should we go to Casey's or Pecos Bills and split a meal before dinner? We are big eaters, but I don't care. I'm worried about being full during the dessert party. Okay, Justin. Okay, it's a great question because we just did this dessert party about 2 weeks ago, and this was my plan. You know what I did? I was like, dude, I got to keep a little room there down in the belly for all those desserts. You know what? It's all you can eat, and I'm going to make sure that Pam's treating us. I'm going to make sure Pam gets her money's worth.
So, I'm going to make sure she gets her money's worth.
So I was like, I'm not letting Pam get shortchanged on this guy. So that's exactly what I did. We all went over to Casey's and had corn dog nuggets for dinner. You know what? That's the thing I think we got to consider about Walt Disney World is that there's so many good snacks that I don't think you have to worry about like a square meal. You know, you don't have to have like your entree and all that. You know what? It's okay to snack for dinner and having, you know, some fries and corn dog nuggets with the plastic cheese, you know what, a few hours before the party hit, you know, it's perfect for me. And then I was still, you know, comfortable to have a lot of desserts that night. It was a lot of fun. So, Ricky, what would you do in that kind of situation? I mean, he says he's a big eater, but I mean, you don't want to go, you know, overboard there and not enjoy the desserts that night.
No, you clearly don't want to go in stuffed to the dessert party because then that defeats the whole purpose, obviously. So I would do the same thing. I would get some corn dog nuggets from Casey's and either, you know, eat them myself, depending on how hungry I was at the time, or split them with Brian. And then, you know, I think that that's totally the best way to go about it, especially because like the corn dog nuggets are, you know, you can piece them out, you know, give them to people. I think that that's a good deal. Don't give them to strangers. That's a little weird.
People sitting at the table next to you. I'm like, open your mouth.
Start chucking them at people across the
way. Yeah. Yeah. That's odd. Ricky feels a little differently than the rest of us do.
I do. I just throw corn dog nuggets at everybody. Yeah.
Pam, there are some good savory choices at the dessert party. I know that that's oftentimes a discussion, like, what if you don't really like desserts or whatnot? Like, they had a lot of different cheeses. I don't know, like my family could exist on cheese. So like we could have many different cheeses for dinner and there were grapes and
but
strawberries.
Yeah, but if you have nonstop cheese, like if you go all you can eat cheese, you're going to have issues for the next 4 or 5 days of your vacation. I'm saying like, come on now, be smart.
Well, I will not because I'm lactose intolerant. I like the cheese.
So
it doesn't necessarily like me. So, I can eat the cheese. It's okay.
Something different going on.
No, but they did. There was cheese. There were berries. There were fruit options. You know, and there were lots of little, you know, different kinds of desserts. So, anyway, so
this
it was
is why
all
I
good.
Love us, by the way. We talked about throwing corn dogs.
And you know what, though?
And
I was
cheese problems.
I was good friends with the cast member down at the end who was scooping the ice cream basically for the kids, but I went back to her three times. And what do I call them sprinkles that they put on the ice cream. What do they call them in your neck of the woods, Pam?
Jimmy's,
because she's like, you want Jimmy's? I'm like, what is that?
Exclusive to my area of the
No, it's not, but it's definitely, I think it feels like it's a north Eastern.
I've never heard that
thing.
Ever.
I didn't know what Jimmies were until I was on a message forum on WWE Magic, and they all talked about Jimmies, and I was like, "What are Jimmies?" And then they said sprinkles, and I was like, "Oh, so sprinkles."
Nice.
Got it.
All right, so we got to get this is the question that we had to get to this week, or the feedback, I should say.
Yes.
It's from Leslie, and it's just please, please, please stop telling people not to take a 3-night cruise. I feel you may be discouraging people who only have this as an option. I and many, many others enjoy them. I like 7- and 4-night cruises, too. When you only have a week, many people would like one park day. You can't always just take more vacation. A 3-night is over a weekend, whereas a 4-night requires a whole week of school to be off. When you're experiencing something new, time seems to slow down. It's not about doing everything, but about enjoying what time you do have. Leslie. So Leslie, you are exactly right. Now I will say, like, when we must have said this like very strongly, and I know we've said it over the years, because if you're gonna have a 3 or 4, the 4 is nicer because you got 24 more hours and you get a sea day right. on the cruise. But Leslie has a great point. But when we said this the last time, I was worried, like, did we say it that strongly? Because I mean, my phone was blowing up like an Amber alert, like everything we have, like the Facebook page, the inbox is like, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't offend Leslie. Leslie, you are so right. So Pam, you get Leslie's point, right? I mean, if it's like a 3-night cruise or no cruise, I mean, definitely the 3-night cruise.
100%. Of course, that's always the point that we're coming from. First of all, if it's a 1-day vacation or no vacation, we're all there. Like, yeah. Seriously, we're not only all there, we're going to all 4 parks, we're swimming, and we're eating wherever we want to eat. I mean, yes. We can absolutely maximize this. So you're absolutely right on this. I first of all, I'm surprised that people still listen to us. I'm just saying, haven't people like tuned us out or whatever?
Haven't they learned? I mean, yeah.
Whatever. No, it's a great point. And we want you to vacation where and when you want to vacation, whether you can go 1 day, 1 hour, 1 month, whatever.
Yes.
We just are always sharing, you know, if it's 3 days, we want 4 days. If it's 4 days, we want 5 days. If it's 5 days,
which
we
was
want
my five. Dilemma on choosing the cruise that I went on, because Brian and I were discussing, well, we could take this 4-night cruise that, you know, goes out of New York and just goes back to New York, or we could take the 7-night cruise that goes out of New York and goes to Quebec. And we were like, the money is about the same, so we're just going to take the 7-night cruise because it's 7 nights on Disney Cruise Line.
Hello.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So that always wins.
We'll figure out the extra vacation days later. We'll get to that. We'll figure that out. So,
believe it or not, we are very much in touch with the limitations of vacation days. I mean, it may seem like I have unlimited vacation days. I don't, but I'm also traveling with a spouse who absolutely does not have unlimited vacation days.
That's
so we're
absolutely
about, you know, we understand it. We get it. It's just, I also get the over the weekend thing too. I really wish that there were more 4 nights or 5 nights over a weekend.
Yeah, that's
an easier trip to do. And then even just folks who want to visit Walt Disney World, in addition to being on their cruise, you know, they'll often consider a 3-night cruise. Our whole point with recommending, you know, the longer cruises is that you're going to feel at the end of the 3 nights you want more. Now, you may feel at the end of the 7 nights you want more.
Yes.
So that's why we recommend that. But it's absolutely well-founded criticism, and we deserve it.
Yes.
So.
No, it's good. It's a good point because, you know, it's always conversation here. And that's actually a lot of what went into picking the – it's always so hard for us each time to pick the podcast cruise when we're going to take it. And the reason we picked the 5-night, again, is because we got feedback. And now people want to do the 7 nights. We did that last time. But we got a lot of feedback that we can't take a week off because it's going to be more than a week with the 7-night cruise. So this one we picked not only a 5-nighter. So if you could take a week off, you get, you know, a little buffer, but it's also over a weekend and it's close to the 4th of July holiday. So hopefully some people get, you know, time off from work. So we tried to consider everything when it came to picking those dates. So anyway, all right, this next one says, help me decide time sensitive. It's from Lisa. Hi, BOGP crew. I am surprising my son with a Disney trip for his 10th birthday. We are currently booked for 3 nights at Pop Century in July, but I'm able to get Coronado Springs for about the same price as I am now. I know Coronado has a better pool and larger rooms, but I am concerned about the size of the resort as well as the number of bus stops at Coronado. We stayed at Caribbean Beach this past December, and I did not enjoy it there, partly because of the need to take the internal busing everywhere. So I'm hoping the crew can help me decide a decision regarding where we should stay. The most important factor for us will be timely buses, and secondarily, the rooms and pools. Thanks so much for your help, Lisa. All right, I know where I'm going with this one, Pam, but we were just recently there, so what should Lisa do? I'll give my thoughts, and Ricky will too.
So this is hard for me because I'm not one that uses the bus system, and y'all know this. But here's what I'm going to say are the pluses about staying at Coronado. First of all, for me, it's never the transportation first and then the room second. For me, it's always the rooms. This is the first thing I'm considering, the rooms and the resort amenities and things like that, because those are what are really important to my family. But I absolutely get the need for good transportation. One of the things you may want to look at is are there preferred rooms available at Coronado? If so, that may be a good choice for you because you'll be within, you know, the closer rooms to those actual, the main building and things like that to get the bus. The other thing I would consider is I don't really consider Coronado to be that large of a resort. I know. I'm like the one person in the world, I think. I love the walk. Even when I've been at the ranches, which, you know, the furthest building, I love that walk to the main building and area. And that's something you may want to consider regardless of where your room is located. Take a look and see how much further is it for you to just walk to the main building as opposed to walking to the bus stop. And can you pick up the bus there? Would that just be easier for you? Would it be a 4 or 5 minute walk to the bus stop? And then you can catch the bus right there and not even have to take the internal bus. So that's something to think of too. I also think they're doing a good job building bridges across that lake. There's some other bridges coming in, I believe, in addition to the one that's there. So that's happening. Know that there will be a little bit of construction at Coronado when you're there. They're building those towers. They're finishing up the room renovations, but for those rooms alone, it would be a slam dunk for me to stay at Coronado because I just love the renovated rooms.
Yeah, so. I have a couple things on this. First of all, if you can get Coronado for the price of Pop Century right now, that is not going to be the case a year from now. It's going to be Coronado. I am just guessing. Again, we don't know anything, but I'm guessing Coronado eventually is going to be pricing on the very high side of the moderates. As opposed to right now, you can get it at the price of a value. That is a steal. And the rooms are amazing. I was in the Ranchos building 8A, which is in the very back behind the dig site pool. And it was not a bad walk because like Pam said, there's a bridge right across to the main area and it wasn't bad. So as long as you can hope, you know, 10-year-old boy is going to, and he's going to love the dig site pool area. So will you. It's a great pool, great rooms. And if you're worried about the transportation, like Pam said, you can always figure out which stop is first and just walk over to it. We've done that at Coronado. So I would say definitely do Coronado because this is a chance you're not going to get down the line. A year from now, you know, you might not be able to afford Coronado if you're kind of on a value budget at this point, you know, because that's kind of where I am. While you can do it, do it. So, Ricky, final words on this.
Given that I still haven't stayed at Coronado yet, it's hard for me to make that choice. I think that you guys have definitely put in some good points of why she should consider staying at Coronado. Especially the price point, and Mike, you're right, that won't be the case going forward. But if she's super, super worried about it, you know, I think that Pop may be where she wants to be at, it seems like, but because of the pricing, she was considering the other options. So I think you really have to look at it, and if you make the decision of Coronado and you're like you feel okay with it, then that's the right choice. But if you make the decision of, say, Coronado and you feel like it's not a mistake, but you know, like you have a little bit of palpitation about it, then I think that maybe you should stay at Pop Century. And that's kind of my theory on where you stay, picking where you stay in general is if you are second guessing yourself after you've made the decision, then it's you really wanted the other choice.
Here's what I say too. Pop Century has great bus service. I love Pop Century, but the thing is we've had, you know, cause you only have one stop there, but we've had to wait for like the second Magic Kingdom bus to come in the morning, right. You know? So the thing is that you only have one option there. You have to wait where at least you can hedge your bets on a place that has like a Riverside or a, now Riverside's kind of a longer walk from like opposite side of the resort, I think, than Caribbean or Coronado, but you can always take that extra 5 minutes and walk to the, you know, once you figure out, okay, what's the route of the bus, I can go over to that one. You know, it's in the Casitas this time or it's in the Ranchos, you know, just depending on construction and stuff like that. So, yep. Sure. And Craig's saying again, Coronado has the best pool of all the mods. I agree with that. And somebody else, Justin, said, we just did Coronado last May. We stayed in the Ranchos and were the second bus stop. Easy ride to the lobby and great because buses were empty. Now, again, that's in May. A few, right. Let's see, a few times people at the lobby could not fit on the bus because it was the last stop. Pool's awesome. So again, you know, you can just, you just got to take that in your own hands. And I would go with Coronado because again, you know, this is the time to stay there on these rates right now. So,
and I think that, you know, staying somewhere that you haven't stayed before, there's always something to be said about that too.
Yep. He's going to love the dig site. I'm just saying, I know Mallory's excited for that. So anyway, last question of the day, late night ideas with kids from Jennifer. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm wondering if you could help me out with some ideas on our upcoming weekend to the world. We're flying down on May 18th to celebrate my husband's 40th birthday. He has no idea we're going. We're only there until Sunday, and we're staying at the Dolphin. We were supposed to go down early in the day on Friday. However, due to a school presentation that my daughter has to do, we are now not flying down until Friday night. We don't land until 9:30. While it will be late, I would still like to do something a little Disney before we head to bed. Any ideas on things that we can do with the kids as well over near the Dolphin, and let's say till 11 o'clock at night? I think even the pools might be closed at that point, but I'm not sure. Thanks, Jennifer. I get it. You get there. You're pumped up. You want to do something, especially since you're only going to be there for the weekend. Staying at the Dolphin. Pam, boardwalk maybe? Just kind of cruise through there, or, you know, get some ice cream at Ample Hills, kind of kick it off that way. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to suggest either walking over to the boardwalk. They have some performers out there. I'm not sure what time they quit doing that, but that's a good option. And then Beaches and Cream. How about that one? Give that one a shot.
All right, Ricky, other suggestions? Those are good ones.
I was exactly going to say what you suggested, Mike, of do the boardwalk and maybe get some ice cream on Ample Hills. I think that's a great option there.
Ooh, so. Also, the Fantasia Gardens is usually open late. The mini golf place right across the street from Swan Dolphin.
Boom. Oh, that's a good idea.
Right there. All right, look at that. Pulled it out of it. Let me get my hat off. Pulled it out of the hat there. There we go.
Anyway. There you go.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. Thanks so much for sending those in. Keep them coming. Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We love talking about all these great Disney topics, great questions today. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in live here on Facebook. We appreciate you being there. Eric right there. He's with me. Mini golf. All right. Good stuff. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's free. It's for iOS. And Ricky's going to tell you what you're reading about this week.
You are reading about the Disney After Hours event, which is returning for the summer to the Magic Kingdom. This event gives guests quicker access to attractions and character greetings after the park is closed to day guests. In addition, you also get ice cream, popcorn, and bottled beverages, all included in the ticket price. Event guests can enter the park as early as 7 p.m. and remain in the park for 3 hours past the scheduled closing time. Advance pricing is $119 plus tax for both adults and children. The event is scheduled to take place on the following nights, June 28th and 30th, July 7th, 9th, 14th, 21st, and 28th, August 4th, 11th, and 30th, and September 20th. And I hear just fantastic things about the Disney After Hours event. So I'm actually thinking about making this my birthday present this year to go to the Disney After Hours event when I'm down there for my birthday. So, yeah, I think it sounds like an awesome, awesome thing. And, I mean, all you can eat ice cream and popcorn.
If you eat too much popcorn, you can run into issues as well. I'm just saying, back to, you know, 20 minutes ago, be careful. Easy. Go easy.
So, yes, and I love that Maddie says that I was on the ball. I actually got very lucky, and then I ended up on the other screen. So
good stuff. All right, don't forget you can get this app. It's a free iOS app. You need it right now on your Apple device. It turns it into a Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. And we do that online shopping, whether it's for cool Mickey ears or socks or books or what have you. I'm getting an iPhone case. Whatever it takes, just use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. Don't forget you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We've got great accounts as well. Ricky's running those over at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, join the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, approaching 7,000 members. So come on over and have some fun with like-minded Disney fans. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday. We're going to talk a little. We're going to go a little Beta Mouse from back in the day. We're going to look back here, and we're going to talk about some current events, but we're going to go win, fail, or meh on Friday. I just like saying meh. It makes my face look funny. Now that we didn't used to be on video back then. Now when I say meh, I look kind of strange. But anyway, got to watch the video drop by Facebook. So anyway, we're going to be back again on Friday. Hope you will be as well. But until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.